Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, Lee, did you see where the multimillionaire, and I do emphasize the term multimillionaire, Covington Catholic student?
Yes.
Attended the March for Life again this year. Did you see that?
Has he gotten the check from CNN yet?
Yeah, he did. Actually, well, he got the they settled. I don't know if he's actually got the check, but he has got the settlement. The amount is unknown, but it must have been substantial for them to settle, and they settled so they wouldn't have to go to court.
Yeah.
So that was awesome to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't miss the just absolute irony of it. This is the same kid again who literally did nothing but wear a MAGA hat, never opened his mouth.
Yeah.
Was never anything but kind, never anything but a smile on his face as he is being screamed at, maligned, accused of being a homosexual by some black dudes with an organization that just committed a terror attack, called a racist, called a bigot, called everything under the sun. And CNN, remember that? Yep. CNN, Washington Post, all of them, they just vilified this kid. And the story literally was, this is how bizarre this guy, the story literally was that you could look at him, you could look at Nick Sandman and tell he was a racist. So love to see multimillionaire Nick Sandman return to the March for Life this year. He has a Twitter account, and this is what he said in his Twitter account: I will never pass up the opportunity to march for life.
Simple,
and that's it, all he said.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's just oozing with racism there, as you can tell.
Yes, as you can tell. So he's marching again, much richer this time, and will probably be even richer still because a slander lawsuit against the Washington Post has not been settled yet. I would love to see them go to court. I'd love to see the process behind putting together that kind of article, but I'm afraid if the public got a look at that, it would cause them too much embarrassment, so I'm sure they'll settle too.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, but the good thing about this, on the upside, this was such an important blow to the mainstream media because they so casually think, you know, people, I got some of my trolls online saying, oh, it's just about money to you. You just think money. No, he deserved every cent of that. How the heck's he going to work for the rest of his life? They didn't even stop to think about who they were destroying and how they were destroying his life. How's he supposed to work? He's been branded a racist on national television by every major media outlet.
Well, and also keep in mind here, there are different standards, too, for people who are considered in the public eye. And that is a legal term, in the public eye. If you're a politician, if you are an entertainer, if you are a sports figure,
public
if
vortex
you are,
figure, yep.
If you are doing something in which you are injecting yourself into the media, into the public narrative, then people can say things about you, make accusations, and you're not held to the same standard. But when you have a child, a minor child, simply wearing a hat with a slogan from a political candidate, and then you have people approaching that child and then plaster their face up all over the network and claim that this person is doing something wrong or has said something bad or is doing something that is not socially responsible. And then you continue that narrative, even though you know it is false. They got exactly what they deserved. That's not news, folks. That is not news.
No, and it's a critical blow because they had become so casual about destroying people's lives that they thought nothing about tarring for life, because he's tarred for life, a 16-year-old kid who never opened his mouth. That's how casual they had gotten with their lies, and with their cancel campaigns. They just decide, this is the guy of the hour. We're literally going to take a news cycle or two and destroy his life. Then we're going to move on. We do not care what it does to him. We don't care what his point of view is. We don't care to find out his point of view. We're just going to make it up and go. That's how sloppy and lazy they'd gotten.
Yeah.
And these payouts to Nick Sandman, don't kid yourself, they are humiliating for these news organizations.
Yeah.
Absolute humiliation.
They're going to have to sell some TV advertising to pay
for that. Well, to pay for that. And what's going to happen, they all have libel policies.
Oh, yeah.
And so that just means their insurance is going to go way up.
Exactly.
So. And they'll have to fire some more reporters, which is good. But, you know, it should do less damage to people. But this was a critical case. It really was a warning to the media. Don't think you can just descend on a private U.S. citizen, learn that they support Trump and destroy their life. Because there's going to be a penalty for that.
Yeah. As there should be.
Yeah, there should be. You cannot do this to a child. And these are the same people, by the way, arguing that Joe Biden's child, Hunter Biden, should not be afflicted.
That's a whole different. That is
with
a
criticism.
Whole, that is a completely different situation. When you appear on the campaign trail as an adult with your father, who's the vice president, when you accept positions with foreign government-owned entities because your dad's a politician, I mean, Donald Trump's kids would not get that protection, and they shouldn't, because they are actively participating in his campaign. They are members of the White House administration, and they have actively put themselves into the public eye. Hunter Biden's done the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you go to China with your dad on Air Force Two and you walk away with a deal for your company over $1 billion from a company owned by the Chinese government, man, you're a vortex public figure at that point.
Now, the Michelle Obama, I mean, the Obama daughters, that to me, off limits. No. I mean, unless they do something to inject themselves as adults into the political process, no. Just like the Bush girls, they unless they crossed the line on a couple of issues where they actually did something illegal, mild, you know, misdemeanor type things, you know, the underage drinking situation, which one of them got involved in. They shouldn't be touched, shouldn't be talked about. I mean, I remember Jimmy Carter's daughter. You know, same thing with Chelsea Clinton when she was a child. Now, once they become adults, once they inject themselves in the political process, different ballgame. They are wide open.
Yeah, like Donald Trump Jr.
Right.
He very clearly has injected himself into the political game. Lara Trump, same thing.
Barron Trump? No.
No,
he's off limits. He's a minor.
Yeah.
He has not injected himself into this in any shape, form, or fashion. And it has been despicable what some of the media has done to try to include him into some of their criticism of the Trump family.
By the way, if you want to know what CNN really thinks of you, did you hear this clip mocking Trump supporters?
I haven't heard it yet, but I've been hearing about it.
Oh, my.
Let's hear it.
Gosh.
And look.
Oh, by the way, it's Don Lemon.
He also knows deep in his heart that Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, you know, the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump, that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one and they're y'all elitist or them.
You elitist with your geography and your maps and your spelling, even though my
math and your reading.
Yeah, you're reading. You know, your geography, knowing other countries, sipping your latte.
All those lines on the map.
Only them elitists know where Ukraine is. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh my God.
But you know what? But it was Rick's fault. I blame Rick.
Oh my God.
But, you know, but in all honesty, but
blame
you know what
Rick,
NPR should
why
do?
Why not? Sorry, hold on. Wait.
Can I tell
give
you
me what, a second. Hold on. Sorry. Rick, was a good one. I needed that.
I saw where somebody said this should be a campaign ad for Republicans. It should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what CNN thinks of you. And to me, I'll be honest with you, as a Southerner, this is racism against, or I shouldn't say racism, but more geographicalism against Southerners. That's and that still exists in this country. There, folks, we're still fighting the Civil War,
and we're not doing it. It's them.
No, it's them. And you know, this is the demeaning attitude that are given to those of us from this part of the country, whether we have graduated from four-year colleges or have master's degrees or PhDs or GEDs or high school diplomas or vocational school education, doesn't matter. They don't think it's of any significance that we're still ignorant, that we're not capable of understanding the world the way that it needs to be understood, that we're not intelligent enough to be able to vote for a person that we want to lead this country. And that's the attitude that's out there with a lot of the media and a lot of the north of the Mason-Dixon line elites. So, sorry. I mean, it's just, you know, this is what one dumb Southerner thinks.
Yeah, that's what they think of you. So it's, you know, it's hopeless from the beginning. And you know what that was? That was an insanely remarkable show of bias.
Yes, absolutely.
From the people who just last week were enraged when Martha McSally, you know, the senator?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Said
yeah.
She was not going to talk to Manu Raju. I don't know how he says his last name. I'm sorry. Manu Raju, I guess. Yeah, it was Manu Raju of CNN, because she said, you're just a liberal hack. I'm not talking to you.
Right.
And the outrage. Wolf Blitzer went wild. Oh my God, accusing us of being biased. How could you say it? Demanding an apology. And literally this. If you're a Trump supporter, you're an idiot. You probably can't even read.
Yeah.
From the people outraged a week ago that they were called left-wing hacks.
Yeah.
And then they do a demonstration project on how they're left-wing hacks on national television. Yeah. Look, you know what bothers me about the mainstream media? I just want to make this clear, because I get these texts all the time from people. Well, you're biased. Yes, this is a conservative talk show.
Yeah.
It's labeled as such. You cannot miss that coming in here. You ever hear me, Lee, knock on Slate, Huffington Post, any of those places? No, never. I mean, occasionally we laugh at things they write because it's so absurd. But do we ever knock on them for their bias and their lies? No. You know why? Because they're labeled as liberal news, and I am fine with that.
Yeah.
It's got a label on it. You know when you're going in there what you're going to get. This is the liberal side. They do a great job of articulating it. I have no problem with it. My issue with the mainstream media is that they lie. They want it both ways. We are unbiased, and you can trust us as a source for news. God, have you seen those Trump supporters? Idiots.
Yeah.
They want it both ways, and they cannot have it both ways, and they're lying anyway. They are every bit as much as biased as the people at Huffington Post and Slate. They're just dishonest about it, unlike the people at Huffington Post and Slate, who get credit for being honest about it. They know where they're coming from. You know where they're coming from. You know where they're getting it. You can listen to it with an asterisk. Okay, this might be true, but this is from one side. All right, I get it.
Yeah.
Now watch. Give it a couple more weeks. Somebody else will call CNN biased. They'll be outraged again.
Of course. Yeah.
I guess we'll just play that. I'll just keep it permanently in my folder.
Please do.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Texter writes about the clip I just played from Don Lemon, CNN host, making fun of boomers who support Trump, Southerners, stupid rednecks, can't read. You know, stuff like that. Yeah, and it kills me. CNN, the same CNN, literally outraged last week when Senator McSally said she wasn't going to talk to Manu Raju, thank you, because he was a liberal hack. How dare you call us liberal hacks? Everybody knows that's not true. And they're literally doing the liberal hackery on national television. Just own it. That's all I'm asking. Just own it. Just admit what you are. We're liberal hacks. This is a liberal point of view. It's what we do here every day. You want to know what liberals think and what you should think if you're a liberal? Listen to us. I have no problem with that. It's a lie. It's the lie that they're mainstream. What a joke. Text writes, hey, Tara, here. Okay, here, Tara, here it goes. Going back to the Kobe discussion, 25 years ago, I cheated on my husband 7 times. Wow. He prayed to save our marriage. 9 months later, I found God. My redemption was so profound. My husband got saved, too. We've been married 29 years. We will be married 29 years this year. I walked away from it all.
Praise God for a praying spouse. That is a forgiving husband. You should be thankful for that. Yeah, and we were talking about the one thing I want to say is it's fascinating and praiseworthy about Kobe Bryant's life, and that is the arc of it. From accused of rape at 24, admitting I cheated on my wife and might have been a little violent with this woman. I see how she could think I raped her. It was the closest he came. The media called it a half confession at the time. I'm not calling it that. That's what it was called. And fast forward to today, this weekend, goes to church with his daughter, gets in a helicopter to go to her game. He's coaching as the coach in the league, that the Mamba Sports League that he founded for youth. And that's the last picture of him we get as the helicopter goes down. And the only reason I keep bringing this up is because yesterday is the most agitated I think I've ever gotten you. I was a little rattled when I went home. And it started like this, and I just want to address it because you might have heard the show yesterday. It started like this, as came out the gate talking about how terribly sad and horribly tragic the death of Kobe Bryant and the others on that helicopter was. And then I got mobbed on the text line, how dare you praise this man? He's, a rapist. And I was like, okay, we'll take, you're not going to tell anybody. You won't read this text. He's a rapist. I was like, okay, we'll deal with the issue. We'll take it on head on. That's what we do here on the show. I read all the facts. Reflected badly on Kobe. Badly. His admission reflected badly on Kobe. And so then I start getting, oh my God, the text line blows up again. How could you say such bad things about this man? After half of you demanded that I say bad things about the man, that I paint the whole picture. But here's the point of the whole thing, and I just want to say this, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore. If you don't tell the whole story of Kobe Bryant's life, boy, you miss a lot. You almost never see a life like that. Still with Vanessa, who he was married to at the time. She tried to divorce him in 2011, by the way. Filed and everything. And he fought her on it for 2 years. He didn't want a divorce. He wanted to stay with her. He got back together with her. They had another child 7 months ago now. And he's done multiple interviews about it, talking about, basically how he fought for his wife to get her back. She had filed irreconcilable differences, understandably. And all I was saying, my only observation is if you only want the sanitized version of Kobe, you want the rape version from when he was 25, or you only want the version from the end, you're missing the whole story. And it's such a great story. And I said he got caught, and a lot of you misunderstood that too. I said, what do you mean he got caught? No, I meant it in a good way. He didn't know that helicopter was going down, or that was the last day of his life, or that the details of that day would be so picked over and used to judge who he was. And judging him by that last day alone is a remarkable transformation from judging him by the day in the hotel of the alleged rape. Went to mass with his daughter, got on a helicopter with her, was taking teammates, coaches, parents, and friends along, started a Mamba Sports League for kids, coached her team, and involved in by all appearances, loving father. Your actions show that. Sure, not a perfect person. None of us is. But that is an amazing story. And if you sanitize any part of it, you miss that. And I didn't want you to miss it. And look, everybody on the text line is drawing their own version of it. Some of you are harder about life. You don't believe it. You don't think that anyone can change. Others are like, yeah, he must have, found God. What a miracle. And you see it that way. See it however you want. But don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's a remarkable story. You almost never see a life with an arc in it like that. Whatever it means to you, don't miss it. Texter writes, I think this is from a Trump supporter, I am not a redneck. LOL. I tan too easily. Texter writes, I'm a hick, a rube, I'm deplorable because I refuse to vote for the irredeemable. I love that. So well put. Texter writes, mention the numbers to contact you more often. Usually I do. I'm sorry. I've been on a roll today. 71307 is the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. The Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Okay. Kobe was allotted, this person writes, a second chance at life because of his status. Most men who lose control and rape someone are doomed to prison thereafter. Good point. They get no second chance to die as a rich, reformed rapist in a fancy helicopter. Everybody's got their point of view. It's what I love about this topic. But don't miss it. Well, Lee, you and I talk about this a lot. Supreme Court Justice Neil
Gorsuch just issued a savage rebuke to activist judges.
Oh, good.
And he said what I've been saying for a long time, and you've been saying too, there's something going on in America, and what it is these district court judges.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do a couple of things. Let me go back to something. Okay, we just watched Trump achieve in the Arizona sector a 90% decrease in illegal immigration in just a few months. 90% decrease in traffic, okay? It's the third time since Trump has taken office that we have seen dramatic and in a couple of cases record-breaking decreases in traffic, grinding almost to a halt the traffic compared to what it was, right? And then we see these record-breaking numbers or near record numbers. Almost nobody could touch the George Bush numbers. He was running one hell of an invasion, worse than Obama, because conservatives wouldn't let Obama do it, but they turned their back and did whatever, let Bush do whatever he wanted. Anyway, so Trump's numbers will go to near records, close to the levels George W. Bush allowed in by demanding the Border Patrol not enforce the law. And so Trump will get to those levels with Matt. So we've seen tremendous highs, tremendous lows. And that's because every time Trump put something at the on the border that's effective, he's tried three fixes. All three worked great. A liberal judge somewhere will order him to stop. And then as he is ordered to stop, the flows increase again. And the problem with these liberal judges is not a one of them has had the jurisdiction to issue the ruling. Mm-hmm. They just literally give themselves power they don't have. Talk about a magic wand. Give themselves power they do not have. And they'll rule outside their cases. In other words, somebody will come before them and complain about something, or maybe nobody came before them at all, and they'll enjoin the president, which means they'll tell him to stop. Or they'll rule that a particular federal agency must do something or can't do something else. In other words, they just make it up.
Right.
And that's exactly what Neil Gorsuch says. Now, these are all overturned. The problem is it takes 2 to 3 years.
Yep.
We'll get to that in a minute because there's someone responsible for that. And I'm going to tell you who it is in a sec. But so Gorsuch, a liberal judge had ruled that Trump can't deny green cards to immigrants who receive public assistance.
Right.
Even though that's federal law.
Yeah.
Okay, so Trump didn't make that up. He is implementing federal law. And a judge is like, oh, you know what? I just don't like that. So he can't do it anymore. And so, of course, he was overturned by the Supreme Court. Okay, so Gorsuch writes, today the court rightly grants a stay, allowing the government to pursue its policy everywhere except for Illinois. But in light of all that's come before it, it would be delusional to think that one stay today suffices to remedy the problem. The real problem here is the increasingly common practice of trial courts ordering relief that transcends the cases before them.
Yeah.
He's talking about jurisdiction here, and he's talking about just, you know, make it up. Give yourself jurisdiction.
Legislating from the bench.
Yes. Whether framed as injunctions of nationwide, universal, or cosmic scope, these orders share the same basic flaw. They direct how the defendant, it's always Trump, must act toward persons who are not parties to the case. It is absolutely ruled by judicial fiat. In fact, a while ago, I said, you know, we used to have a republic. The Democrats tell us it's a democracy. It's not. We live in a judicial dictatorship.
Yep.
That's really where we are. And so Gorsuch is rightly just blasting these judges. Their actions are utterly illegal. But what does it take for the judicial dictatorship to work? Who is ultimately responsible? Well, we blamed a lot of people. One of the people who's responsible is John Roberts. And let me tell you why. John Roberts in particular, the court in general, because the Trump administration has petitioned over and over and over again for, you know, a speedy hearing before the Supreme Court, and they get rejected every time.
Yeah.
So that's why it takes 2 to 3 years for Trump to implement an immigration policy, because the liberal judge will just block him. It's the Supreme Court foot dragging, which has come down to two things. The setter of the calendar, which is John Roberts in some cases, and in other cases, the Supreme Court just voting against expediting it. And so the court, while Gorsuch is railing against them, and he has generally voted for the these cases to be expedited, the court really is part of the reason, because these judges know they can get a nice flood of illegals in here in the 2 to 3 years Trump's waiting. They're stealing his presidency from him. And then, of course, the other problem is that Congress refuses to act. Congress could wipe all this away any moment they want.
Yeah.
Now it's under Nancy Pelosi, so we're going to have complete lawlessness on the border. In fact, that's a built-in feature with the Democrats. They are campaigning on absolute lawlessness at the border and non-enforcement of U.S. laws. But when Paul Ryan was in office, he could have stopped all this, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, blame John Roberts, blame the Republicans. You know, throw the Democrats in there, too. But that's why. But at least Neil Gorsuch has called these guys out. Look, you guys don't even have the jurisdiction to be making these rulings you're making.
Yeah. No, he's absolutely right about this. They don't have the jurisdiction. And the role of the role of the judiciary is not to set U.S. ordinances. It is not to correct congressional laws. It is to tell Congress what you did was unconstitutional. Go back and do it again. And then you got to come up with something else. But it is not up to the court to determine nor dictate what is to be done.
No, it's not. Particularly not when Trump, this is what's so stunning, when Trump is enforcing a law that's on the books.
Yeah. That's why I go on my rant all the time about DACA. The Obama administration was saying in writing through executive order, we're not going to enforce U.S. law when it comes to children of illegal immigrants that are not citizens. We're not going to enforce the law. That's what DACA was. And all Trump did was rescind that executive order, which once again allowed U.S. law to be enforced. That's all he's trying to do.
And they enjoined him.
Exactly.
They said, no, you can't do it. Yes, you can. The only argument there is, well, we like Obama better, so you have to continue his policy. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just absolutely laughable. There's no legal argument to support it.
None. I mean, even the name of it, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. We're deferring action on what is U.S. law for childhood arrivals. And we're not going to follow the law. That's what that means. Through executive order, that's what the Obama administration's policy was.
We have a deplorable hillbilly on the line.
Okay, great.
One of those dumb rednecks.
Somebody I can probably identify with then.
Yeah. He writes, I hold a master's in divinity, took Hebrew and Greek in school, and bilingual Spanish. Have authored 3 published novels and played guitar on 5 albums. And I will vote for anyone representing the USA every time. Don't assume that Southerners are dumb. We just have scruples.
And I bet he can spell scruples, too.
He did. He spelled it correctly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Don Lemon. By the way, severe backlash to that, understandably.
As there should be. Yeah, you know, here, and I'll be honest with you, I rarely see opportunities where right-wing media tries to impugn the intelligence nor character of those who have differing political views. We may say that you're wrong, that it's unconstitutional, that you are just you're doing things that are counter to the culture of this country, to the intent of the Constitution, to the character of this country, but you have the right to think that way. And from the left, it's like you people don't even deserve to exist. I mean, that's the kind of attitude that we get. Whether it's from Hollywood, whether it's from Capitol Hill, whatever the geographical area or you know, wherever the left is located, that's the attitude toward the right. You have no right to exist. Your side of the view, your view of politics should not be heard. You shouldn't be here. But yet there seems to be, at least from my perspective, plenty of accommodation for the left. It's like, okay, you're entitled to your opinion. I disagree with you and I'll vote against you, but you're entitled to your opinion.
And I don't think those people are dumb either on the left. I don't think most people on the left are dumb.
No, just misinformed.
But I, in fact, it drops my jaw at how you can be as intelligent as some of them are and actually believe what they believe. You'd think you'd have to be dumber to believe that than these people, you know, actually are. But anyway. Texter writes, Don Lemon is hoping a vortex will open and swallow up his little comedy bit now. I know, he's getting savaged online. Let's see. Tara text writes, I think we are through, Tara. I don't believe that this country will do a 180 on the course that we are on. You know that cartoon Gulliver's Travels? We're doomed. We will never make it. It sounds true. Yeah, you know what, though? I'm telling you, and I tell you guys all the time, I mean, me and Bobby Mack Lee sat down one day before the election of 2016, and we concluded, I'll never forget it, in his office, that the country was done.
Yeah.
That there was no hope. There was no way Trump could win. But we just weren't going to tell you all about it because it was too depressing.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm proud to announce we were both dead wrong.
Yes.
And we could have never seen what was coming in the future. And I think that is still very, very much true today. And I think that I believe that there will always be a home in this country somewhere for people who want to be free and love the founding principles. That home may only be the size of South Carolina, but it will always be here.
And that's my fear, is that it may dwindle down to just a few states and no longer a union of the United States, where that concept and those principles are, you know, engendered and promoted.
Yeah. But I think long term, yeah, that I think there will be always be a place for that system. I just think it may be an increasingly shrinking place. But Texter writes, the CNN clip you referred to will be seen more on Twitter than on CNN. Yes. Yes, it
is. This is true. Probably seen more on Twitter just today than CNN will have viewers this year. So
see, this is what people don't understand. I get these texts all the time saying, oh, I don't talk about CNN. Hardly anyone watches them. No. But look up their web traffic sometime.
Yeah.
They are typically the number one to number two, depending on the day or the week or how you're measuring it, news org for web traffic. So all those on-air hits, nobody sees them on the TV, but they're all over. They really do have reach and influence. Mm-hmm. It's just not on the television like it used to be. So there you go. Wonder when Mitt Romney will finally knuckle under.
Oh, please.
And just let us end this thing.
Just go away, please. I mean, good
yeah,
grief.
I want to issue a special thanks to the people of Utah. I don't know what the heck is in the water out
no
there
kidding,
or what
man.
Y'all were thinking.
Good
I mean,
grief.
You guys do know that dude you voted for there in Utah. He came from Massachusetts, right?
Yeah,
like he's
right.
A total carpetbagger.
Yeah, exactly.
He ain't one of you.
he ain't one of y'all.
Wilford Romney.
Yeah. Mm.
Nothing. I'd tell you what. Nothing says I believe in America like a Swiss bank account to avoid paying your taxes. What a great guy. Texter writes, the Republicans in the House, when we retake it, need to impeach these judges. Yes, they do. Honestly, I'd wipe out entire judicial districts. We don't need them all. The only one we're required by the Constitution to have is the Supreme Court. A Texter writes, daily listener, Tara, but I do wish you'd talk about the state's record unemployment rate. Yep, we got one of the lowest unemployment rates in the whole country. We have it pretty good right here. Thank you for reminding me. That actually was in my stack, but didn't get to it. Texter writes, when Mitt is done playing Republican senator, he will have a CNN gig as Republican consultant. No, that's not Mitt Romney's game. He don't want something like that. It's too small. Mittens is bitter that he'll never be president. That was his life's ambition. And he's particularly bitter that the folks in the Republican Party, like you and I, who Don Lemon just described as major buffoons and rednecks, did not vote for him at the rate we did for Trump. He's really mad about that. So his ambition in life is to have the most power he's ever going to have, which is never going to be as president. He wants Mitch McConnell's job. That's what this is about. His whole game, aside from the fact that Romney literally is a bitter and ugly human being, he's literally twisted with rage and jealousy at President Trump, that he'll never have what Trump has, that it was so easy for Trump to win compared to him. That's part of it. But no, his audience, if you want to make sense of what Mitt Romney's doing, part of it's the rage. Yeah, the rage, the jealousy, the envy, all that. Yeah, that's part of it. But part of it, his audience, the liberal donors that Mitch McConnell has groomed all these years to give money across both aisles. They're Democrat donors who've now given to Republicans, realizing they can silence and marginalize Republicans when they control their purse strings. And Mitch McConnell has played it brilliantly, played to them, killed off conservatives in primaries, using money they donated in his own party. Romney sees himself as the head of the Senate, going to be a powerful guy, and his main audience is these donors. They hate Donald Trump. The only reason these donors give money is you got to pay Congress to do things that hurt their constituents. Otherwise, what's in it for them, right? They won't do it. Got to pay them. And that's what they pay for. And the main thing they pay for, of course, is wage suppression, open borders, destruction of jobs, things like that. That is Romney's target audience. So if you want to understand what the heck is he doing and what does he say, now look for Romney to be like, you know, Lindsey Graham that last year. He's got 6 years in the Senate and he's early into his term. I mean, he's got a good, five more to go? So I look for around year four, Mitt Romney does an about face and starts sounding like a conservative for a little while. But he's got to show the donors who he really is so that when Mitch kicks the bucket, which he will eventually because Mitch is old, Romney can step into those shoes with the blessing and the backing of the donors. See, the way it was supposed to go was that the Romney crowd, including Nikki Haley and Marco Rubio, were going to inherit the party from the Bushes. And Trump took it over. So Romney's playing to those donors who don't like Trump, betting that when Trump's gone, he can retake the party. That's what it's all about.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.